This is the Beer of the Day podcast.
From Beer of the Day World Headquarters in Elk Grove, California. This is the Beer of the Day podcast. Tonight, New Glory Craft Brewery here in Sacramento was nice enough to send us some beer to try. So we have three beers from New Glory and then a special Abbey Ale from Italy that Jeff sent me for my birthday a couple months ago, and wanted to give that a shot also. I'm Dallas Helliker. Joining me tonight from Pasadena, Jeff Miller. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Dallas. How are you?
Pretty good. Pretty good. What's going on?
Ready to drink some beer. It's been too long. I've been wanting to try these beers, and so I'm excited and looking forward to tonight.
It's hard to believe, but it has been, as we're recording this, 322 days since our last podcast. And by the time this is released on the 5th, it'll be 326 days.
We can do better.
That's 39 days short of a year. That's it's crazy. It's been a crazy year for me, for you, for everybody here. So it's we're not getting in front of the mics and not getting the mics heated up as much as we used to, but we will try to remedy that in the future here and come out with these a little more regularly.
You know, we've still been drinking beer. We just haven't been doing the podcast.
That's true. Some might say too much beer, but have you had any beers lately that you wanted to mention?
Yeah, I've had a couple. I've been traveling a lot, and so I went to New Orleans, had some great beers there. In San Diego recently, I was in Scottsdale, Arizona. Each place I had some great beers. But I think a couple I wanted to mention is there's a new, I don't know if it's new actually, but it's new for me, a brewery up in Santa Cruz called Humble Sea. And I've had some of their beers lately that a friend got for me. Those have been really tasty. And I also have a friend on the East Coast who sent me some beers from Treehouse and Trillium in Massachusetts, and had a bunch of their beers. So, you know, all of them were good. A few were excellent. One in particular was called King Julius, but there's different versions, but this is one with three J's, King Julius, and also one called Super Treat. Fantastic. You know, I'm not a huge hazy IPA fan, but these were phenomenal beers. So, you know, shout out to Treehouse with those two beers, and got a couple left that I'm going to try this weekend. Hopefully, you know, coming up on 4th of July.
Nice. So we'll see those as Beer of the Day here pretty soon.
I hope so. How about you? What have you been up to?
Well, I went a few places, but most recently I was in Huntsville, Alabama, dropping Derek off at Space Camp. And I had a day to go and visit all the breweries in town, or as many of them as I could fit in. And I went straight to Ale, which we've had on this program before. And we've been able to get a few of their beers on Tavor. And it was just okay. It was just kind of the same stout at the devil, you know, the same type of beers that we've had before. There wasn't that much new. But just next door to that was a brewery called Yellowhammer, and they had a huge selection, 20-something beers. And I got tasters of a bunch of them. And they had a couple IPAs, the Cheatin' Heart IPA, which was kind of a tropical IPA, which I enjoyed a lot. And then I guess the one that they are known for is Groovy Dawn's IPA. That's kind of they call it a West Coast style. It's a little more malty than, you know, the West Coast style that we're used to here. But I liked both of those quite a bit. They had a Pils that was good. They had a you know, several beers that were pretty tasty. So I had a good time there.
It's interesting because I'm sure the beer is good, but you just don't think of like the style that comes from that part of the country. I mean, you have very California type of beers, you have Northeast style beers, but it's interesting somewhere like Alabama or like when I was in New Orleans, you know, what kind of, you know, what they're going for with their beers. Are they trying to do something different or are they trying to like replicate what works in other parts of the country? So, you mentioned the West Coast style. Was there any other sort of like trend or like, did they have a lot of lagers or anything you noticed?
Not, they had just a mix of everything, kind of like you'd see at Claremont, you know, where they have one of every style or a couple different ones of every style. And it was more of a kind of a brewery that we'd see out here where they had a big mix.
Yeah. Good variety, appeal to something for everybody.
Right. But there's other brewers in town. I didn't go to, there's one called Interspace that brews mainly sours, and it wasn't open when I was there, but that was one I was wanted to kind of check out. Cause that's, you know, that'd be different to see a brewery specializing in sours in that part of the country. But there's quite a few breweries. There was 5-6 different breweries right within a mile radius.
Yeah. Maybe we'll see one of them send some yeast up to space like Ninkasi in Oregon did. And, you know,
yeah,
kind of gimmicky, but, you know, could be something interesting.
Right. They, Straight to Ale has some sort of monkey astronaut beer. I can't remember what it's called, but it's the one they have on tap all over town. The Monkey Knot. And that in every restaurant and every bar, you know, at the hotel bar and everything, they have the Monkey Knot IPA, which I drank quite a bit of when I was there. So it was a good trip.
Awesome.
All right. Well, let's get into the first New Glory beer of the day. This is one where New Glory is a brewery that is one of my favorites in Sacramento. Their Ubadank IPA is one that I buy pretty much every time I go to the grocery store. I always have it on hand. It's like one of my go-to beers. It's not super expensive, and it's really good flavor, and I drink quite a bit of that. So that's really I think it's probably my favorite Sacramento area beer. And so it just so happened that Brittany from New Glory hit us up on Instagram and said, "Hey, I got some beer I want to send you." And so she sent us 3 different New Glory beers to try. And she sent them down to Jeff in Southern California. And then I went to the brewery and acquired the same 3 beers. They did not have them in cans. Jeff got them in cans. But I got them on draft in these crowlers here. I have 3 crowlers, 1 of each of the 3 New Glory beers that Jeff has in cans. So that's how this will work. The first one is called Turn the Season. It's a hazy blonde ale, 5%.
Which, before we start, like, I don't know that I've really had a hazy blonde ale. You have plenty of hazy IPAs, you have blonde ales, but I don't really see hazy blonde ales. So it's going to be kind of interesting.
Yes, it is. You know, I think of like Mind Haze, or I think it's called, from Firestone, which is they call it, it's probably a hazy pale ale, but it's a very light, you know, light beer, and not my favorite, but that's the closest thing I can think of to like a hazy blonde.
Yeah, this is only 5%. It's going to be light. It's a good one to start out with. I just poured it. It's definitely hazy. It's kind of a light, golden yellow, almost straw colored. I mean, it's pretty, very light in color, but definitely hazy with a pretty thick, like one finger of white foamy head. I mean, it looks really nice. What do you think of that aroma?
It's pretty great. I get kind of a lemon zest type of smell, a little bit like, you know, very clean smelling, like dish soap almost. And I would have to say that it's a Citra hop. I don't know if it is or not, but I get kind of a Citra hop smell.
Yeah. I mean, I get citrus, but there's also sort of like a unique earthiness. I don't know how to describe this. It smells really good. It's very appealing, but it's kind of like
there's a dank earthiness.
Yeah.
You know, dank is a word that usually describes like the super hoppy, sticky, hoppy flavor. But on this one, it's more of a wet cellar type of thing, you know?
Yeah. Smells kind of like a wet basement, but not in a bad way. Like no. It's good. It smells really good, but it's really unique. It doesn't smell like a hoppy IPA or anything like that.
Right. And then I think Jeff said it's a light yellow color and you can see a shadow of my hand through it, but it is quite hazy.
Pretty tasty. I get definitely some hops, but I think what I noticed right off the bat is there's a maltiness to this that tastes kind of grainy, and I don't know if there's wheat in here, but it just tastes kind of like a field of some kind of grains to me.
Yes, it does. I would say wheat, but it doesn't say that it's a wheat beer. The next one is a wheat ale. This one, it has that kind of grassy aroma, or sorry, grassy flavor, kind of like lemongrass or something, where it's pretty unique.
Yeah, I definitely understand the lemongrass, but I get like a chewy mouthfeel. It's just kind of, it's that grain, and it's got a pretty full body for a 5% beer, but it's the structure, the mouthfeel is pretty unique. And maybe it's just this hazy blonde ale, but I like the body and the structure and the flavor of this.
I think it's pretty like traditionally East Coast juicy type of beer. Like I could see this one coming out of Hill Farmstead or something like that. Like it kind of tastes like a Vermont beer to me.
A little bit. I think there's more of a yeastiness, like an earthiness and a yeast. Like I almost taste the yeast, which I like in a beer. It's not really what I expected, but it's really quite tasty. Like I really enjoy it. To me, it's very different from a hazy IPA. It's mellow hops, but just enough.
A little bit like on the verge of sour, like it's nowhere near like a Brett beer with the wet dog and all that stuff, but it's leaning in that direction. There's like a little bit of that sour, maybe, you know, funkiness a little bit.
Yeah. I think you're right. You're spot on.
It's not quite there, you know, but it's detectable.
It's really interesting for only a 5% beer. And again, not what I expected. I think if you were looking for like a hazy IPA, it's not that at all, but it's hazy. And it's, you know, I don't know that I really get the blonde ale, but to me, it's a kind of malt forward beer with a lot of complexity with this, like that slight sourness, like you said, and just the mouth feels really interesting to me.
Yep. Yep. I think that's a very good one to start out. All right, well, I'm going to continue to enjoy that one during the news. I've got these 32-ounce crowlers, but I'm not going to be able to drink the full beer this time. But maybe it'll last a day, and I can have it for breakfast in the morning.
It's just like how I used to do it when it was, you know, four of you around a table sharing a beer while I drank the whole thing.
That's right.
Come full circle.
And now the beer news of the day. Well, normally in these type of situations, I play this one. Another one busts the dust. Another one busts the dust. Ow! Another one busts. But hold on a second. This is the exact opposite. Funky Buddha Brewery reacquires company from Constellation Brands. So this is in Oakland Park, Florida. The founders of Funky Buddha Brewery, Ryan and KC Sense, are reacquiring their Oak Park, Florida-based business from Constellation Brands. Both the former owners and Constellation agreed that now is the ideal time for the original owners to reclaim control of the company and focus on beverage innovation, new consumer experiences, and additional product lines. Its flagship beer portfolio, including Floridian and Hop Gun, will remain available for distribution, and the founders are excited to introduce new products. The reacquisition of Funky Buddha Brewery is targeted for June 2023. Going the opposite direction. Now, its flagship beer portfolio will remain available for distribution. Does that mean that Constellation is keeping the Floridian and Hop Gun? Or
they're just going to partner with them for distribution?
I don't know. But I thought that was interesting. We haven't seen it go that way. But I have been seeing some issues in the Anheuser-Busch acquired breweries. Like there are a lot of layoffs in Goose Island and, Elysian and all these big breweries that not big breweries, but craft breweries that were bought by AB InBev. They've been laying people off. They even closed one of the breweries that they bought a couple of years ago. They just closed it down. I think they're having a little trouble making it work with their financial investment there.
I was just going to say, I feel like it's interesting right now. Like something feels different ever since like COVID kind of ended. Like, it's not as many new breweries. I'm not hearing about as many closing. It's just like a little bit different than it was a couple of years ago. And it's not bad, but like, unfortunate that they're closing some breweries or laying some people off. But I hadn't heard this Funky Buddha story, but that's really interesting to me that the founders are buying it back. I've never heard of that happening. I'm sure, maybe it has, but it probably sold at a nice profit to Constellation because Constellation overpays for everything. Mm-hmm. And then they probably did well and are reacquiring it. That's really a awesome thing. I'm glad to hear that. We've had a few of their beers. I mean, you can't really get them in California, but we've had some that I think Hugo brought back from Florida years ago. And, it's a name I've always known, but I think it's really cool that that's happening. Maybe that'll be a trend.
I hope so. Hold on one second. Hey, Stone, are you there? You can buy your brewery back. Think about it. Funky Buddha did it.
For not very much money.
Yeah. Another sign that things might not be going so well for Anheuser-Busch. Parent company Anheuser-Busch InBev sold $297 million worth of Bud Light for the 4 weeks ending May 28th, a 23% drop from the same time period the year before, according to consumer behavior data analytics. Modelo Especial ranked number one in May with $333 million sales. A 15% increase from 2022. So Bud Light is no longer America's best-selling beer. How about that?
I thought Modelo became number one like a year ago. Maybe I just was wrong, but I sort of thought, Mexican beers have been all the rage for the last like 5 years of non-craft beer drinkers. So I didn't realize it just now changed last month.
Apparently. Yeah, I didn't know that it was a possibility that could happen.
I drink plenty of Modelos, I like it. It's good. Summertime, easy drinking pool beer.
So I'm going to send you a link that has a video in it. Like normal beer, German brewery creates carbonated lager powder. A European brewery has revolutionized the way carbonated beverages are made by concocting a powdered lager that almost mimics the look of beer on tap just by adding water. By simply adding a couple of spoonfuls of powder into the glass, adding water, and giving it a stir, beer enthusiasts can make their favorite drink without having to open the fridge.
What?
By removing the extra weight created by glass and water, the brewery's general manager, Stefan Fritze, says the invention could reduce transport weight by 90%. The beer connoisseur claims his product tastes just like normal regular beer, and its appearance also looks similar to typical carbonated beer as it's foamed up and mixed. I doubt it tastes like normal, regular beer.
But it's like instant beer.
It's like instant beer. Now, the one they have now is non-alcoholic, so there's no alcohol in this powdered beer yet, but they're working on figuring out how to make it alcoholic.
Wow. It doesn't appeal to me. Like, it's interesting. It's fascinating, but yeah, I don't know how you would get alcohol in it into a powder.
I don't know.
I mean, I'm sure they have some chemists that they're working with, but it's like, I just think of like cup of noodles or something. You're just like adding water and it's like fine, but it's probably just like, I'm guessing it doesn't taste great. It's just fine.
Yeah. He says it tastes like normal beer, but I seriously doubt it. But if you look at I'll put the link to the article in the show notes and you can watch the video of him doing the two scoops of the powder, and then he uses like a coffee frother to like froth it up, and then it does look kind of like a beer. They say it's like, it's not carbonated though, so maybe it's like the fizzy bubbles you get from like one of those zip fizz type of things that you pour in there. So I guess it could simulate carbonation, and if they can get the taste to taste like beer, that's interesting.
You said it's in Germany, right?
Yeah.
I wonder how this plays into like all the laws in Germany, the German purity laws in terms of, you know, the specific ingredients, process for making beer. Cause it, you know, maybe it's, I don't know what is in this exactly, but maybe it is the same ingredients, but I don't know, legally, like based on the German laws, they're very strict with historical norms and tradition.
Yeah. I heard that when Stone had their brewery in Berlin, they had trouble, you know, making the beers to fit the formula that they are required to. And that brewery closed down, as far as I know.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's get into the second beer of the night. This is also from New Glory. It's called Sunset Surge. This is a mango and tangerine wheat ale. 5.8% ABV.
My favorite category of beer, mango and tangerine wheat ales.
I knew you'd like this one.
It smells as I feared it smelled, was going to smell. I smell like carbonation, and I'm going to give it a shot, but it smells like artificial fruit.
These crawlers are so full that as soon as I open the can, it comes up to the top of the can, you know, like,
oh, yeah.
More beer. That's like compressed into the can somehow.
How long do crawlers last these days? It's, you know, I think they last for a while if you don't open them. I mean, I don't know if the technology has changed too much.
I would say a couple of weeks.
Yeah. You just got them a week ago or so.
A week ago. Yeah.
So this beer is, a little bit more orangish in color than the last beer that turned the season. It's non-transparent. It's it's not exactly hazy, but you can't see through it. It's a little cloudy.
A little cloudy, not as cloudy as the previous beer.
Yeah. Very little head.
It's slightly darker, but it's still quite light in color.
Oh, you got a lot of head there. I have very little. Mine was kind of like a fizzy head that dissipated really quickly. Maybe that's the crowler versus the can.
Yeah. Because I got a couple of fingers of head, white foamy head that's sticking around. It's starting to dissipate, but not too fast.
The aroma is strong. It is very fruity, very like, I'm gonna say mango and tangerine.
It's almost like tangerine candy.
Yeah,
like tangerine sour candy. Like it's very aromatic.
Yeah, you probably said this. It's called Sunset Surge, 5.8%. Well, let's give it a shot. I don't want to judge a beer by the appearance.
It almost smells like Fruit Loops or some type of like fruity cereal.
It tastes like it smells.
Not as intense though.
Yeah.
The aroma to me is super sweet smelling. The taste is sweet, fruity, but not overly so. It's not super sweet. You get some actual like fruit flavor, like it's actually coming from tangerine, and it's not like tangerine flavored candy.
Yeah. So it's not artificial tasting. Like I kind of thought that based on the aroma right off the bat, but you definitely get some real tasting mango and tangerine. I would say not my style of beer, but like, you know, the first thing I think of is like Mango Cart from Golden Road, which I see everywhere. I've been to a lot of baseball games lately. It's at every like baseball stadium in California. And, you know, a lot of people love Mango Cart. It's a very like popular beer. So I think there's something to be said for a beer like this, where it's really infused with fruit like tangerine and mango, because there's an appetite for that.
Yeah. There's a market for it. I do like the fact that the mango isn't overkill in this beer. Like a little mango with me goes a long way. You can really go overboard with the mango. And I've had a lot of mango flavored beers that are just too much mango. So this one keeps it reserved. I taste more tangerine than mango, which means more citrus than tropical. And I enjoy that.
Yeah. And I think, you know, the base beer is a wheat ale, but I would say the wheat is a little bit more in the background. I think the malts here are a little bit more supportive and kind of come second to these fruit flavors. And, you know, that's enjoyable. Like I actually got a little bit more malt and wheat on the first beer. This one has a little bit less. So these fruit flavors are pronounced, but they don't overwhelm your palate too much. But you know, there it's definitely this sort of like wheat maltiness, but it's much more in the background, not the initial taste.
Yes. Yeah, the wheat, it's reserved. It's not like super extreme wheat tasting, whereas on the last beer I got more of that. I don't even know if there's wheat in that beer, but your standard, yeah. It smooths out the mouthfeel a little bit, but it's not like super noticeable. So I like the fact that the fruit is pretty well balanced. It's obviously a fruit forward beer. And then the wheat gives it kind of a really smooth drinkable quality.
And it's not a light beer. I mean, it drinks like a light beer, but it's 5.8%, which is not super light. Like a lot of, you know, summertime, a lot of the beers we're drinking are, you know, 4, 4.5, 5%. This has a little bit more kick to it with that 5.8%. You don't really taste it, but it's the alcohol's there.
Yeah. Yeah, I like this one. I didn't think I would, but I like it a lot more than I thought I would.
Not bad.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to do one more beer from New Glory. It is what they're calling a juicy West Coast IPA. We'll have comments from you, the listener, and then we'll finish it out with a Abbey Ale monk beer from Italy. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Beer of the Day podcast. All right, if you like the show and would like to help us out, there's a couple ways you can do that. The first is by shopping on Amazon through the Beer of the Day website. All you have to do is go to beeroftheday.com. There's an Amazon banner. You click that, do your normal shopping, and Amazon gives us a little taste of that purchase price. And it all adds up if you do all your Amazon shopping on there. So that helps. The other way you can help us out is by liking, sharing our posts on social media. We are at Beer of the Day, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. Go there, like our post, share it, comment on it, interact with us on social media, and it'll help us move up the algorithm and be exposed to more and more people. So follow us, like us, share our posts, comment on social media, at Beer of the Day, everywhere you find social media. Except Truth Social. We're not on there yet.
And we're not on TikTok.
No, we're not. Should we be?
Probably won't ever be on TikTok.
I'm not going to do it.
You're not going to catch us recording some TikToks while we chug beers.
Nope, no TikTok. We're not on Snapchat. We're not on Grindr.
Well, not for beer of the day.
Right. All right, let's get back to the show. Welcome back to the Beer of the Day podcast. Second half of the show, we have a final beer from New Glory Craft Brewery in Sacramento. This is called the Juicy Jolt IPA, and they're calling it a Juicy West Coast IPA. Now, is this a contradiction in terms, or is this a juicy IPA that is brewed on the West Coast, so they're calling it a juicy West Coast IPA? Or is this a West Coast IPA that is not hazy, that looks clear, that looks amber colored and looks like a West Coast IPA, but then has some sort of a juicy component to it? I don't know what to expect here. To me, those West Coast and juicy are at odds, because my understanding of the West Coast IPA is it's a little more dry and a little more hop forward and a little more bitter, which is what I like in my IPAs. So this juicy word has me a little concerned.
Only one way to find out.
Only one way. I got my crowler here. I'm gonna pop it open.
The crowler looks nice. I like what's the artwork look like on there, because these cans are pretty colorful, very artistic looking. It seems like the crowler is kind of the same.
Yeah, it's a good looking crowler. It's got like all these California Always Fresh, Special Water, Sacramento's Best. It's like a kind of a collage of different little craft beer scenes, and it's a cool can. I think in the last few years New Glory has underwent a rebranding. And I think at the same time, their quality improved dramatically also. You see their cans in all the stores now, and they're top-notch. Like, every beer I try from them is good. We went to New Glory, you and I, maybe 9 years ago, 8 years ago. New Glory was a new brewery. Did you go to it?
I think so. I mean,
maybe I went. I went with Andy for sure.
I remember like the old. I mean, I think there was a farmhouse ale that I remember taking a picture at your old house.
Yes,
very early in the days of like recording our podcast together in person, where it was. You know, I don't remember the beer. I think it was probably good, but nothing remarkable. But we had just some like terrible pictures that we were taking inside your house at probably 2 a.m. after drinking these beers.
Yes, I do recall that. If you one of those pictures actually turned out pretty good, because I've seen that before, you know, looking back at past photos, and it looked pretty good. But yeah, that's the old branding, you know, that's their old logo, probably the same logo, but just different marketing. And that was in the days of bottled beers, not cans.
They've been around for a while. Like, I remember going up to, you know, Lake Tahoe in the wintertime, skiing and picking up New Glory beer to like take with me on the trip to drink up at like a cabin. So, I mean, it's been around. I don't, you know, not as long as some of the other, you know, Sacramento breweries, but it's been around for quite a while.
It has. They are celebrating their 10th birthday on June 24th. So happy birthday, New Glory.
We're in the second half of the year. I have my New Glory glass. It's very nice. Let's try this beer.
All right. So first of all, it ends up a shade darker than the last two beers. This is more of a golden yellow color, but still quite light. It's not really on the amber side. It's still on the golden side. And then it's hazier than I expected. When it says West Coast, you expect it to be clear. This one is pretty cloudy, to the point where I can't see my, I can see the shadow of my finger through the glass.
Does not look like a West Coast IPA.
No, it looks like an East Coast IPA, a Northeast IPA. So far, it's more of the juicy IPA, hazy IPA than it is West Coast.
And just wait till you smell it. It is so juicy in the aroma. It smells like tropical fruit and just pure juiciness.
Yep. This is a sip of sunshine smelling.
But it smells fresh. It's just very juicy in the aroma. I haven't had a sip yet, but it,
yeah, and I get a little mango in this one, that tropical smell. I don't know if it's just left over from the previous beer, but
I get mango,
passion fruit,
guava, passion fruit, like mm-hmm. just, you know, the spectrum of tropical fruits, pineapple.
And there wasn't much head on it, and it's now dissipated down to just a film on the top of the glass.
I mean, taste is good. It's pure tropical fruit, in my opinion. It's all those fruits that we picked up in the aroma are also very clear to me in the taste. I don't really get the West Coast style. There's not really any bitterness. To me, this is a juicy tropical fruit flavored beer. It's good. It's lots of tropical fruit.
Yeah. I get a little bit of hop bitterness in the aftertaste, but it's pretty reserved. It's mainly a tropical fruit forward beer.
So maybe like a little bit of grapefruit, little like
grapefruit,
slight amount of grapefruit pith.
Yep. It's that little bit that kind of, keeps it from being too sweet. It like a palate cleanser type of thing where you get those fruit flavors and then that little bit of sour bitterness comes in and says, oh, that's the ending. You know, it kind of abbreviates the taste. It doesn't let it linger too long. Good flavor though. I mean, drinkable. Someone serves you this beer and it's perfectly palatable and drinkable and tasty. It's just not a West Coast IPA.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, for anybody that likes juicy IPAs, this is what they're looking for. You know, Lance would like this. Joel would not. But like anybody who likes, I would say East Coast juicy, hazy IPAs, this is high quality, tasty, fruit forward. Like this is what you would like.
Yep. I think they'd like that first beer too. Turn of the season.
Yeah, I agree. But I really like that. I like the turn of the season over this. And I'm somebody who normally would go for the IPA, but I like the flavor profile of the hazy blonde ale more than this. But this is good for the juicy IPA category.
Yeah, I enjoy this. I can drink this whole 32 ounce crowler. I don't know if I'm gonna drink it all tonight, but you know, maybe. But it is midnight, getting a little bit late.
This could be a breakfast beer for me. It's pretty light bodied. I mean, it is 6.5%, which is, I'd say, medium alcohol level for the IPA spectrum. But like just the amount of fruit and juiciness here, I could drink this for breakfast.
Yeah, I could too. But I'm going to end up with a lot of breakfast beers tomorrow. So if I drink all these breakfast beers, it's going to be a sloppy day.
Incoming transmission.
You've got mail.
Comments this week or this year. We have some comments on Instagram. We post the beer of the day to Instagram, Facebook, Twitter every single day, and people comment on those beers on social media. On June 15th, we featured Big Sur Double IPA from Barrel House Brewing, Paso Robles. I think Jeff had that beer.
Many times.
The Brewski Broskies said, looks awesome. We're actually headed out to Big Sur today for some hiking. We need this Brewski. LOL, cheers, Broski. Thanks, Brewski Broskies.
Great beer. You got to pick it up in Paso Robles and take it to Big Sur, though, is the key.
Yeah. We featured on June 14th, the day before, Zombie Dust from Three Floyds Brewing in Munster, Indiana, across the state line there from Chicago. Right Deck Beers posted a comment on Instagram. A classic. Used to be so hard to find it. Now it's all over the place in stores and on tap. Still tastes great. Right Deck Beers, I think, is in Chicago because he posts comments on all the Chicago beers that we feature. Beer Bike Bro said, "Where are the zombies at?" And then Floki Beer says, "Great beer." Do you remember our trip to Three Floyds?
Vividly. A lot of people there. A little bit more of a restaurant than I was expecting, but it was good. I mean, we left Chicago, drove over the border. It's a good experience, but it was more of a restaurant feel.
They were getting ready for the festival.
Yeah.
They were like gearing up for some big zombie festival.
Like in the parking lot, there was like tents everywhere.
Yeah.
We probably didn't get the right experience because there was too much of a focus on this event.
Yeah, I remember it being everyone was distracted by this upcoming festival. I don't know. Sounded like fun, though.
Three Floyds is a great brewery. I mean, one of the best Midwest breweries.
And then HenryQua051 on Instagram. HenryQua051. He is a German user, and he posted his comment in German, which I translated into English. He says, "You've put a lot of effort into these posts. How about creating them for a profitable business? Send me a message."
Speaking to the choir, dude.
Sorry, Henry Qua. Beer of the Day is a not profit organization. We do not profit from this whatsoever. Money goes out the door. It does not come in. But thanks for the compliment on the posts. It does take some effort to put out the content, and we appreciate you following us and commenting on our posts. If you have any comments, send them to us, feedback@beeroftheday.com, or post them on social media, at Beer of the Day, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and wherever else you find social media. Email feedback@beeroftheday.com. And if you have any beer to send us, if you are a brewer or you work for a brewery and you're on their marketing team, outreach, you can send us beer like New Glory did and get a podcast like this one where we try your beer and attempt to discuss it. Our mailing address is on the website. And now the final beer of the night. Does this drum roll have a sting at the end? I guess not. All right, the final beer of the night. Jeff sent me these for my birthday. A box of Birra Nursia Abbey Ale from Italy. It's a monastery in Italy called Monastero di San Benedetto in Monte Via Case Sparse, Norcia, Italia. I don't know exactly where that is, but we've had a lot of monk beers, abbey ales from Belgium, and some from the United States, but Italian Belgian style beer is new to me. And the box that Jeff sent has three different kinds. There is the blonde. It was a kind of a yellow capped, yellow lid, yellow packaging. The triple, which is the middle range one, in the red. And then there is the extra, which is the blue. So in like Chimay terms, the white is like the yellow. And then the double is the red one in Chimay terms, and then the blue is the triple. But here the blue is extra, more than triple. Is it a Belgian quad? They don't call it a quad. It's not Belgian. So I'm not exactly sure what to quantify this beer as, but it's definitely worth worth a try here.
I think this is like a Belgian double. This is probably my third or fourth time ordering these beers from Italy. In my household, we refer to this as holy beers because it's brewed by, it's actually American monks who went to Italy. And I think they took over, restored, sort of brought back to life this monastery that, I don't know the whole history, but I think they existed for a long time. But these American monks took it over and sort of revitalized things, and they're making beer. So they got three beers, like Dallas mentioned. We have not had a beer on this podcast that requires a bottle opener in a long time. It's all cans these days, so it's kind of nice to have a bottle of beer. But this is kind of a special treat. These are nice Belgian style beers shipped from Italy. They last a while. They age fairly well. A couple of years, they're fine. It's not like an IPA. So I've been looking forward to trying this with you because I think you'll like this. We've had a lot of Belgian beers in our day, but this is kind of a special treat, in my opinion.
In the birthplace of Saint Benedict, set in the beautiful preserved nature of the Umbrian landscape, the monks of Norcia brew this beer with the finest ingredients following the ancient monastic tradition. We invite you to enjoy beer in Norcia in the company of friends and family. And then there's some Latin that means that the heart might be gladdened.
Well, happy belated birthday, Dallas.
Thank you.
Like Dallas said, I ordered a shipment for him and a shipment for myself. These are the first time we've been able to try these together. So hope you like it. I've had this beer before, full transparency. Like I said, I've had three or four shipments now. I think it's really worthwhile. Like if you're looking for something unique, it's not a Trappist beer. I think there's only one Trappist beer from Italy, but it's that same style, brewed by monks in Italy. It's, if you like Belgian style beers, this is probably something you would like.
Absolutely. So it pours a dark Coca-Cola colored beer. There's some orange red highlights coming through the part of the beer that's in the thin part of the glass. And then the head is a fairly thin, but it's got legs. It really sticks to the side of the glass, kind of a khaki colored head. With, medium-sized bubbles. And it's a dark beer, but I can see some carbonation floating up.
And for me, I love the aroma of this beer. It's so inviting. It's like dark fruit malts. This, you just know this is going to be like a pretty complex beer. But you just smell this, and I'm like, oh my God, this is going to be good.
Yeah. I mean, I get raisins. I get caramel, toffee. Maybe a touch of coffee, some molasses. There's just so many different aspects of the aroma that come through on this.
And obviously, this is the last beer for a reason. Kind of drink this, I think this is like a cold weather type of beer. We're in the middle of summer, but it's midnight, so I think it's fine to drink this. But this is not something you're going to drink by the pool. Like there's a time and place, but this is it's a beer that warms you up. This like dark, earthy, like hearty beer.
It's a nighttime beer. It's a nightcap beer. It's this is the beer you drink before you go to bed. And then I think cold winter season.
Yeah.
But it's going to be 106 here tomorrow. So this is one we drink tonight in the air conditioning. And then tomorrow we'll do the Sierra Nevada Summerfest at the pool. Yeah.
But this should absolutely be your last beer of the night. End with this. This is your correct order of operations.
Not going to do better.
So on the taste, I really love the taste of this beer. It's rich. It's smooth. There's a lot of the dark fruits I didn't get into details, but you mentioned raisins. I get like
fig,
dates. They're kind of all in the same category.
Yeah.
I also get some cherry and blueberry. Like there's like a combination of like berries and like the raisin date category.
Yeah, there's definitely some blueberry cherry in there. There's some caramel sweetness.
Yep.
There's a little smoke too. There's like a little tobacco or something that's subtle, but it's there. It gives a little bit of a robust sense to it as well, to kind of maybe counteract the sweetness of the fruit.
And I would say it's pretty medium bodied. Like, it's not thick. It's still very drinkable. I mean, you mentioned it's 10%. Like, it's not a light beer by any means, but it's not as thick. I mean, I totally get what you're saying, where it's like a meal when you drink this, but I've had thicker, heavier Belgian doubles.
I think that the red one is thicker than this. I think the triple is, even though it's 8% and not 10%, it seems like it's a little bit more thicker, more of a meal in a bottle than this one. This is actually lighter than the red version.
Yeah. And I think the triple is maybe 9% alcohol. This one's 10. This is the highest alcohol that they make. It's strong, but it's not like, it's tolerable. Like, it's, I really like the flavor, but like, if you're turned off by the 10%, I would say don't be, because it's still very drinkable for 10%.
The blonde is 6, Bionda. The triple is 8, and the extra is 10. This okay. is the 10.
It really does look like soda, like Coca-Cola, like you said. It doesn't look thick, and it's you can't see through the beer, but it is really a like amber color. Like, it's not as dark as some beers in this category.
It's definitely brown, not black.
Right. I also think I was sort of, my beer was pretty cold, and I was trying to hold my hand to the glass to warm it up a little bit. And I think the flavor changes a little bit as it warms up. Like, initially I got a lot of, you mentioned the caramel and these dark fruits, but like, as it warms up, I get sort of a different, like more like chocolate and banana type of flavor that I did not get when I first tried this. And a lot of Belgian beers have like banana flavors, but I didn't get that at first, but I do as the beer warms up and I have additional sips.
Yeah, I get that too. That's pretty amazing. It's another thing that I love about this beer is that I won't say it's a roller coaster ride, but it's a journey, you know, throughout the whole bottle. You're going to get kind of a different experience as you go down to the end. So it takes you, I mean, there's a lot of complexity right up front, but then there's changing complexity throughout the whole process of drinking this, 1 pint, 9 ounce beer.
You have to drink it all. This is not a breakfast beer. The other ones you could have for breakfast, this would be a very tough one.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Maybe with some bananas, but this is so good. Like, this is what I want as, like, I drink a lot of whiskey also. And it doesn't taste like whiskey, but it's that same sort of like warming feeling you get, you know, maybe that's the mouthfeel, but it just like, it warms you up. It's a pretty full bodied, maybe medium bodied beer, but it just feels good to drink this.
Yeah. Very, very good. You know, it's not a commercial, but, you know, if you, somebody, a beer lover in your life has a birthday, you know, gift idea, you know, you can order this beer, ship it to the United States, beerinercia.com, and you can, order this same beer that we're drinking now and the other two versions of it in whatever quantities of each that you like. And, I think, if somebody likes Belgian style beers, monk beers, Trappist ales, this is for them.
Yeah, I think we'll post this as the beer of the day soon. I think a couple of years ago I posted the blonde ale as beer of the day, but I don't think we've ever posted this. And then the triple is brand new. It came out 6 months ago or something like that. So we haven't had that yet either, but we'll have that one on the site soon as well. Definitely worth checking out.
Yep, absolutely.
You're not going to find it in a store. You got to order it online.
All right. Well, Jeff, why don't you take us through the beers that we had today, and we can try and figure out what our favorite beer of the day is. And we'll have to do two categories, the New Glory beers and then the other beers.
Okay. So we had four beers tonight. The first three were all from New Glory, which was a fantastic Sacramento brewery. First one was Turn the Season, which was a hazy blonde ale. The second beer was Sunset Surge. That was the mango and tangerine wheat ale. After the break, we had the Juicy Jolt IPA, which was the juicy West Coast IPA. And I'm going to put that in parentheses. And we just ended the fourth beer with Birra Nursia Extra, which is the double Belgian style monk brewed ale from Italy.
All right, let's dust off the wheel here. A lot of cobwebs on it. I hope it will spin. Let's see here. All right, Jeff is going first, but I'm going to write my mine down.
Okay, so am I picking one from New Glory and then one from Birra Nursia?
Yes.
Did you write yours down?
Yes.
Okay. I'm pretty sure we're going to, well, I think we'll have the same beers, but maybe not.
I think
my
so.
Beer of the day from New Glory is the very first one, the Turn the Season. For a 5% beer, I thought it was very interesting. It had a lot of flavor. I don't think I've ever had a hazy blonde ale, but I really liked the mouthfeel on that beer. It had this grainy, I think Dallas said grassy flavor, slight sourness. It was really complex for a 5% beer. So I enjoyed that flavor. That's the one, like if I go to the brewery, when I come to visit Dallas, go to New Glory, I'm going to try that, especially as the first beer, because I just thought it was a really tasty, different beer.
Yep, I agree with that 100%. Turn the Season is my favorite from New Glory. It was, and the Juicy Jolt I liked a lot. I mean, it was odd how it was packaged or named, but it still tasted really good. But that hazy blonde Turn the Season, it was a very unique beer. That kind of grassy lemongrass type of citrus flavor, very citrus forward. And then how it just slightly borders on the funky sour, where you get little hints of that. It's a blonde ale that is bordering on several other different styles. So it was very unique and really enjoyable. It's complex, but also it could be a pool beer on a 106 degree day and very drinkable. So Turn the Season, like that one a lot.
Why don't you pick your beer of the day from the Belgian category?
All right, from the Belgian category, I'm going to take the Extra Abbey Ale. It was, man, so many different adjectives we used to describe that beer. We named about 20 different fruits and flavors, and you know, I'm going to try it again in the next 5 minutes, and it's probably going to change a little bit more after that. You know, Belgium gets like the rap as having the best beers in the world, you know, the highest quality, most complex, you know, the highest rated beers are usually from Belgium. Well, they're not the only ones brewing, you know, these types of complex and interesting and the style, you know, those Abbey ales, they are, you know, you don't have to go to Belgium to get them. There's some Italian monks that are doing it just as well. And very, very complex and interesting and delicious beer.
So obviously that's my pick also, because that's the only one in the category. But I agree with everything Dallas just said. Lots of good dark fruit flavors. and the right amount of sweetness. It's not too sweet. Like this is my type of beer. I guess I would summarize this by saying it's a really complex beer, but it's deliciously simple at the same time. It's like these straightforward flavors that are pretty easy to pick out when you're drinking it. Like even sometimes we struggle with some beers and we like can't decipher like what's there, and we're struggling to come up with flavors, but it's pretty easy to pick out some flavors in this beer. So it's simple, but really delicious and complex at the same time. And I enjoy it a lot. I'm going to keep ordering this. I hope they continue to stay in business. I mean, I think this is, the monastery is supported by things like brewing this beer. So I'm going to keep buying the beer as often as I can. But I appreciate the quality and the simplicity, while at the same time, the complexity that you get from trying a beer like this. So excellent beer, start to finish.
All right. Well, that will do it. See, we did New Glory. And we thank you for tuning into the show tonight, and remind you to check out our website, beeroftheday.com, and follow us on social media at Beer of the Day, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Do your shopping on Amazon. Go to the Beer of the Day website, click the banner, and do your shopping. Help us out there financially. Share us with your friends. Send them the link to the podcast, and I promise you it's not going to be another 320-something days until our next show. We'll see you next time, and next time will be sooner. For Jeff Miller, I'm Dallas Helliker. You've been listening to the Beer of the Day podcast.